We've been in Revelation the last few weeks after Easter. So this is the fourth, so this is the third week we've been in Revelation. The first week, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the judge of the living and the dead. What a mighty being he is. And last week was Jesus is the slain lamb for us. So almost like a lion that becomes a lamb. And today, Jesus, this resurrected Christ, is our shepherd, our good shepherd. And I want to get into that in a second. Before I read this, I want to say this. It is the longing of every human being to be cared for. And one reason why that is because we are born with the necessity of a caretaker. We couldn't survive if no one cared for us. It's the innate need of a child to have a caretaker. And when Caroline was born, our youngest, even before she was born, from the moment she was formed, she needed Brianna to care for her. Brianna ate food. She abstained from anything that would harm her. Of course, she always abstains from harmful things. She did everything that she could. Sometimes, even if you do everything right, you lose your baby. We've had three miscarriages. And thankfully, we've had four healthy children as well. But sometimes things happen. We know that. And I couldn't care for Caroline myself when she was in the womb, but I could care for my wife. And at birth, I was totally helpless. I couldn't do anything. All I could do was just encourage my wife. And then Caroline was born, and she was totally helpless. But once she was born, I was actually helpful. I got to hold her, just like Micah's holding her here. I got to let Brianna sleep. And now she's eating solid foods. She's crawling. She's starting to wave. This is an older picture. And I had to put a picture of my wife here because it's Mother's Day, and I'm so thankful for her. And she's a wonderful mother to my kids. But now we protect Caroline from putting Legos in her mouth, you know, things that would really be harmful of her. But children of all ages need care. Colette is learning to go to the bathroom on her own. Praise be to God. That's a wonderful thing that you need to learn in your life, to get through life without much difficulty. And Micah's 5. He's learning to read. We're caring for them each day. Liam is turning 7, and he's learning to control, learning to have self-control. Life goes fast, doesn't it? These kids get older. But even as they enter into teenage years, we'll still be caring for him, for them. When I was 17, I would still need my mom to care for me because she would listen to me with all my teenage issues. She would pray for me. She would cook me meals, which I would eat in seconds. And I'm so thankful for my mother. I would come home to see my parents from college even once I got into adulthood, and I would come see them to talk with them but also do my laundry for free because I didn't want to pay for it at school. And I would get a sense of their support. Even as I traveled further south to Wilmore, Kentucky for seminary, my parents still supported me. And there I met Brianna. While I was there, I met Brianna, and I didn't need to care for her or she didn't need to care for me. But we quickly learned that we were better with each other than we were apart. And so we began to care for each other, and we still do. It is the longing of every human being to be cared for. And whether you do that for your spouse and their spouse does that for you, or whether you do that for your children and your children do that for you, or your parents do that for you, or your friendships, this give and receiving of love. No matter how much you care for others and others care for you, we all still fall short, don't we? We still need someone greater than us to care for us. Because at some point in our life, we get to a place where we realize, I am powerless. I need someone to deliver me from this body of death. I need someone to save me. Is there anybody out there who can save me? And the good news of Jesus Christ is that Jesus is the one who cares for us, and he comes to save us. Revelation, okay, let's read this for a second. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Who can save us?" The Lamb. Of course, we know that's Jesus. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen," which means yes, or truly. "Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." He must have been the teacher. And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." How can blood make things white and clean? "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them." What's it like to be part of the household of God? Is that good? Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Now you're going to remember that verse later this week when it's 87 degrees outside. "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." For me, that's a lot of tears, right? I tear up a lot. Lord, would you open our eyes and ears to your word? Help us to follow you. Amen. Remember when we started Revelation, I said, we have to ask the question, how did the people of this time read this apocalyptic literature, this word from John given to him through the Holy Spirit? How did the people of the time hear this message? "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We have to realize that the people who are hearing this are followers of Jesus who were being persecuted by the Roman Empire. People of the way were losing their friends and their family because they were sharing the gospel. And Jesus died and rose from the dead and is given the Holy Spirit. He's forgiving sins. He's the King of heaven and earth. He's coming again to judge the living and the dead. And the people who are proclaiming this truth are dying. They are fearing for their lives. Maybe they may not be fearful, but I'm sure some of them were. Some of them may have been a little bit more bold and confident. And if the great tribulation is only in the future, as some people seem to think, then is this message not for those being killed then, or even who are being killed today because of the gospel? That's a good question we should wrestle with. There has been tribulation for Christians in every generation somewhere on the earth. And ever since Jesus started preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand or near, we have been in the end times. Now, I recognize that there are scholars who would disagree with me. That's not always popular opinion, but it is also not an uncommon way of understanding the text and history. And in light of this, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. People are suffering. They have been suffering. They are suffering. They will suffer because of the gospel. Because this is happening, no one can care for the sheep. No one can care for Christians like Jesus, the Good Shepherd. No one can care for persecuted people who proclaim the gospel like Jesus. He's the one. While the hired hands scatter at the heat of danger and at the threat of danger, Jesus is right there with his sheep, always, throughout history, even now, and even unto the age. Now, typically, we view that the one suffering, especially at the hands of others, should be relieved of suffering. Amen? Should the suffering be relieved? Yes. Will someone save them? Will someone rescue them? The ones suffering need attention and care and relief, or even salvation. And we cry out, deliver them. Paul shows us a different understanding of tribulation. He writes this to the church in Philippi. Because of my chains, which means what? He's tied up. He's bound. He's in jail. He can't get out. Because of my chains, is he suffering? Is he experiencing tribulation? Yeah. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged. Now, when they say brothers, they also mean sisters. Most of the brothers and sisters in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Now, isn't that something? We know that people are being persecuted for spreading the gospel. This is getting people to be more bold, more confident, more courageous. Because of this, I'm going to skip forward to 19. I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now again, what's happened to him? He's been put in jail because of his proclaiming of the gospel. But what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I will be delivered. Now, how do we expect him to be delivered? When someone's in jail, we expect deliverance to be get out of jail. But here's what he says. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, whether I get out or whether I die right here and rot in jail. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Man, what a powerful word. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Paul shows us a different understanding of tribulation. He's not requesting, pray that I get out of here. Pray for my healing, pray for my deliverance. Though it's not wrong to say that. He's saying, I will be delivered. Whether in life or death, I will be delivered because Jesus is raised from the dead. He suffered, he died, he rose. This is my hope upon which I stand. And too often we as Christians are like, oh, I'm suffering, get me out of this place. Instead of having full confidence that our Savior has been there with us, he's walking with us through this valley of the shadow of death and will deliver us. Jesus is his shepherd. Jesus is the one caring for Paul in prison. Isn't that amazing that anybody could bind you physically, but they can't bind you spiritually? Paul was just as free in jail as he was out of jail. Because the Spirit of the Lord is in him, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's freedom. Jesus is his shepherd. And Paul is implying to his brothers and sisters in Philippi that Jesus is caring not just for him, but for them as well. So much so that he's not just focused on getting out of prison, but he's focused on this one truth, that Christ be proclaimed. This is faith and hope in action. He says, whether I die or live, God will deliver me. This is our call. Every Christian should have the same end vision of John. Paul has it here. And the same end vision of John is for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's our vision. That's faith. The shepherd right with him in the midst of tribulation. That doesn't mean that the most difficult days we shouldn't cry. We should. That doesn't mean that we have to be tough and strong and get through everything with confidence. No, it's okay to be broken. Weeping's fine. Grieving is part of life. Amen? But our hope is never destroyed because our shepherd is good. He's near, and he leads us to the valley of the shadow of death. So if Jesus is the one caring for Paul, we have to ask ourselves this question: who's caring for me? The obvious answer. When I was a kid, I was playing in my backyard, and I had a neighbor dog. The dog's name was Tara, and that dog would tear you apart. Vicious. My friend Josh and I thought it would be a good idea to hop the fence and try to pet Tara and tame Tara. What a good idea that was. I think it was his idea, not my idea. So we hopped the fence. The dog's docile at this point. And we're like, we're taming the beast. We get closer and pet her a bit. And then we sit down. We're like, we finally did it. Now, a few weeks ago, this dog had cornered my sister in our yard. She had gotten out of her yard, in our yard. But as I'm there, sitting there, petting this dog, all of a sudden, she nips at my heels and grabs me. My heel was, she pierced my shoe, got my skin. I yelled, jumped up. Josh yelled, he jumped up. We hopped over that fence. I don't even know if we touched the fence. I ran inside screaming loudly, and my mom came and she held me. She asked me what happened. I said, the dog bit me. She didn't even scold me. She set me on the counter. She washed my feet, put it in warm water, and tended to my wounds and gave me hugs. Who's caring for you? In Psalm 23, we see the theme of care. You could say it's a teaching. It's not really a teaching. There's not really a prophetic word. There's no power. Though Jesus is a prophet, a teacher, and a king. But just as important as these, Jesus is the shepherd. He's the ultimate pastor. He cares for us even in our sinfulness and disobedience, just like a good mother. When we don't listen, when we jump in the backyard of the devil and get bit and come home crying, he cares for us and provides all that we need. So much so that we can say, I shall not want. I shall not lack any good thing. Why? We find it in Jesus' commentary of Psalm 23 in John chapter 10. Why shall we not want? Because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And here it is. Don't miss this. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Not that I will protect you from every harmful thing in your life. Not that I will not let your foot strike a stone. But rather, I will lay my life down for you. Well, Jesus, I'd rather you just make sure my life goes pretty smooth and there's no harm that comes my way. Instead, Jesus says, no. I'm going to lay my life down for you. That's going to be enough. I shall not want, I shall not lack. How? Because God, the good shepherd, emptied himself of everything. Everything that he was and everything he had for me. In the next chapter of Philippians, where I was reading about Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the next chapter, starting in verse 7, he says this. I don't know if I have this on the screen. No, I don't. So listen carefully. Paul describes Jesus as the one who emptied himself taking the very form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, to the even death on a cross. Our good shepherd became weak so that I could become strong. Our good shepherd became poor so that I could become rich. He humbled himself so that I could be exalted. He became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. He poured out his life so that I could be filled up with his life. He died so that I could live. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. And the wonderful thing is, he equips us with the ability to care for others. We have his life in us, his spirit in us. And so Paul takes on the role of a shepherd, even while he's in chains. And he calls them to this. If you look at it, he calls them to prayer. He calls them to proclamation. And he calls them to progress. I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out to my deliverance. There's prayer. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There's the proclamation. You'll have sufficient courage. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. He calls them to progress, which is an increasing joy in the Lord. So many people in our country want progress. Yeah, we want things to get better. I got a word for our world. No matter what situation every government is in, if you want progress in your country, let the people be filled with the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord. That'll bring about progress. Jesus leads us to shepherd others just as Paul was led to shepherd the people in Philippi. And we lead each other into prayer, to be close to the Lord, to intercede for others, to proclamation where we actually speak the gospel to people. We do the gospel with deeds, but we also speak the gospel with our words. And then we lead people together in the joy of the Lord. That's why we need church. That's why you're part of a church. You can't follow Jesus alone. You need people to care for you, and we need you to care for others. Some of us are better at caring for others than others. Some of us are better at evangelism than others. Some of us are better at many things than others. We all have our gifts, but in the end, we're all supposed to love one another. There is a lamb at the center of the throne who is our shepherd. And we are all looking for that ultimate caretaker. The one who leads us to springs of living water and wipes away tears from our eyes. We're all looking for that one who will provide us with the ability to be hungry no more, to be thirsty no more, to escape the heat of the sun. People need to hear that. We're all looking for the ultimate caretaker who wipes away our tears and gives us an ever-increasing joy. And I want to share the good news with you. We have that in our good shepherd Jesus, who is the Lamb who was slain. He's the one who laid his life down for us. Praise be to God. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to be in prayer, to proclaim your good news, and to be given an ever-increasing joy. Thank you for shepherding us, and give us the ability to shepherd others. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive blessing, honor, and strength, and power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to enter into our time of communion.